All right. Well, we are in a series called Open, and we kicked this off a few weeks ago. Essentially, we've been asking ourselves the question, what would it look like if we were open to what God wanted to do in our lives? And 2 weeks ago, we said we think God wants us to be open to change. So how does he want to change us, and are we actually open to that in our lives? And then last week, we said he wants us to be open to risk. To taking risks, and are we actually open to that as well? And so tonight, I actually want to look at a third challenge, something else that I feel like God is calling all of us to be open to. But I want to back up for a second and think about this, that the idea of openness or being open to God really starts when someone first starts following Jesus, because that's all Jesus asks in the beginning. He says, I just want you to be open to following me. That's the invitation. It's really that simple. Just start following me. In fact, you read through the Gospels and you see that that's the first thing he said to everyone he met. So he met this group of fishermen one day. And he said, hey guys, I just want you to start following me. And if you follow me, I've got a life for you that's better than the life you're living now. It's abundant. It's fulfilling. It's meaningful. It's eternal. And if you follow me, you'll start fishing for people, not fish anymore. And they're like scratching their heads going, what in the world does that mean? We don't know, but there's something different about this guy. Like he seems legit. And so we're going to start following him. And they did. Jesus came up to another guy. He was a businessman. He was in finances, specifically taxes. That was sort of his thing. And he said, I want you to start following me too. I said, okay, where are we going, Jesus? And he actually says, well, we're going to go to your house. That's where we're going to start. We're just going to go to your house. We're going to have dinner. We're going to have a party. I want you to invite all of your friends there. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about the life that I have to offer you. And eventually, Matthew said, okay, I'll give that a try. I'll start following you. I'm open to that. And that was the message that Jesus gave to every single person he met. And it didn't matter who they were. He gave it to men and women. He gave it to rich people, to poor people. He gave it to people with good reputations, people with bad reputations, people who were really religious and people who weren't religious at all. Every single person he came in contact with, that was the first thing he said. Like, I just want you to be open to following me. That's where it starts. And that's probably where it started for all of us in the room tonight. Right? I mean, that's probably where it started for you, that you at some point in your life just decided to start following Jesus. And maybe it was when you were a kid, maybe it was when you were a teenager, maybe it was when you were adult, maybe it wasn't that long ago for you. And maybe there were other things sort of that were wrapped up in that whole process of becoming a Christian. You started believing some things differently about God or about the Bible. Maybe you went through a process. Maybe there was some church thing. Maybe there was a confirmation or a baptism process you went through. Maybe you went through a difficult season in your life and like you just cried out to God, God, I need you to save me in the season. If you save me, I'll start following you. Like we all have different stories and we all come to God and to Jesus in different ways. But if you shrink it all down, what we all essentially started doing at some point in our life is saying, I want to start following you, Jesus. I want this life that you have to offer, this abundant, eternal life that you talk about. I'm interested in that. It's that simple. Now, for some of us who have been Christians for quite a while, and maybe you're here tonight and you'd say you're not even a Christian, but you're still sort of following Jesus because you're on a journey or you're thinking about it or you're considering it. But for those of us who have been Christians for quite a while, we would say, like, it doesn't always stay that simple. Like, it might have felt that simple in the beginning, I'm just following Jesus. But then Jesus starts pushing us to change, right? He starts tweaking some things in our patterns, our habits, our behaviors, our thinking. He's challenging us to change, and then he starts pushing us into risk, and he starts asking us to do things that make us a little bit uncomfortable. And we start coming to these places in the road in our lives where it's almost like Jesus says, okay, here's one of those situations where I think we're going to go left, but I want to go right. Because like going left doesn't seem like the right way to go. And I'm not sure I trust you on this one, Jesus, because I know myself better than you know yourself. And if I go left, do you know what that's going to cost me? Do you know what you're asking me to give up? Do you know what kind of sacrifice you're asking me to make? Like, I'm not ready to make that yet. And yet we come to these places where following Jesus isn't simple or easy. It's actually hard. And when we get to those forks in the road, we have a few options. The first option is we just decide we don't want to follow him anymore. Like, yeah, you take the road to the left. I'm taking the road to the right. Like, I just don't want to follow you. In fact, there's a story about a guy that did that with Jesus. Jesus walked up to him, and the guy came to Jesus, and he said, hey, tell me about this life that you're talking about, this eternal life. And Jesus said, yeah, it's I'm offering it to you. You can have it as well. You've got a lot of great things in your life. In fact, one thing I noticed you have in your life is a whole lot of money and wealth. And so for you specifically, I can see that that's going to be a hindrance. And so what I want you to do is sell all your stuff and give it to the poor and then start following me. It's one of those crossroads. And the guy's like, I'm not doing it because I got a lot of stuff and it's pretty cool stuff. Like, I don't want to give any of it up. Like, it's good stuff. And you're asking me to like change, and you're asking me to risk, and you're asking me to give up so much, and I'm not interested in giving it up. And the Gospels tell us that the guy just walked away from Jesus and decided not to follow him. So that's one option. The other option is obviously we can choose to follow him. We can say, all right, I'll give that up. I'll sacrifice. I'll do whatever it takes. And I'll follow you in this way, Jesus. But there's a third option that I think a lot of us take, and that's the way of compromise. Like, we get to that fork in the road, and we want to follow Jesus, but we kind of don't want to. We still want to do it our own way, but we don't want to walk away. And so we start cutting deals with Jesus. It's kind of like, well, I'm not ready to do that yet, but what if I do like this? You know, like I don't have enough time for that, but what if I make just a little bit of time for this? I'm not ready to forgive her yet, because did you see what she did? Like, have you seen how badly she hurt me? But tell you what, Jesus, I'll pray about it. And then if she comes groveling back to me asking for forgiveness, then I'll give it to her. And so we make these deals, you know, like, I don't know about these D groups. Like, I'm not sure I'm ready to get in them. And you know me, God. I'm introverted. I don't like big groups of people. I don't like to share. That's just not my thing. I don't want that kind of community in my life right now. So tell you what I'll do. I'm going to buy a book about community and I'll read that. Would that be okay, God? And so we make these deals. Like, we don't want to like walk away from him, but we're not ready to follow him into areas of change and risk, because change and risk always involve sacrifice. And it's always as if God is asking us to give something up, to give up our reputations, to give up some of our time, to give up some of our money, give up some of our possessions, give up our right to revenge, give up our grudges, give up our plans and our dreams and how we thought our life would go. It's like he's always asking us to give those things up. And in the moment, it seems like such a sacrifice to follow him. And yet Jesus knew that. And so he decided one day to address that, because he knew that as followers of Jesus, we would get to those points where it would seem really hard to follow him. It would seem like we have to sacrifice so much to follow him. And so he decided to address that one day. He pulled his followers together and he decided to help us understand that in those moments when it's tough, he's not actually asking us to make a sacrifice. He's asking us to do something totally different. So here's what he does. It's in Luke chapter 9. If you're one of those people that likes to sort of read along in your Bible, you can turn there, and we've got some Bibles in the chairs in front of you, and we'll read some verses in just a second. And actually, what we're talking about tonight is a preview of what we're going to talk about during Lent. So in a few weeks, we're going to enter into a season of Lent here. And during Lent, we're going to read through the entire book of Luke together as a church, and we're going to talk about it on Sundays, and we're going to sort of follow in the footsteps of Jesus through his life. So we're getting a little bit of a preview of that tonight. But in the middle of the book, there's these stories that talk about Jesus' ministry. He has all these followers, these men and women who've begun following him. They're open to what he wants to do in their lives, and things are going really well. Like, he's successful, lots of people are interested, the crowds are listening. And Jesus knows it's going to start getting tough. Like, it's going to get to a point where it's going to get hard. And I'm going to start asking sacrifice from these guys and these women who are following me. And so I'm going to start giving them a preview of that right now. And so he pulls them aside one day and he says, hey, just want to tell you where things are headed. We're actually headed to Jerusalem. And when we get there, the religious leaders are not going to welcome me. In fact, they're going to persecute me, and they're going to arrest me, and they're going to try me, and I'm going to suffer and then I'm going to be killed. And then on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Now, they didn't hear that part because they were too busy thinking about the first part. Like, what? What? That's not what I signed up for, Jesus. Like, we're going there and the people aren't going to welcome you. They're going to persecute you and you're going to suffer and be killed. And if I'm one of your followers, and that's what's going to happen to me because I'm following in your way, your example, you're leading the way. And if that's what happens to you, that's what's going to happen to me. And I am not excited about that, Jesus, because, I mean, you've been talking about life like all the time, not death. I want the life thing, like the eternal life, not the death thing. And so Jesus understands at this moment, he's got to help them understand what he's asking of them. So here's what he says. This is Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 23. He says this. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. That's one of those verses that you just kind of want to take out of the Bible, right? I mean, it's not the most encouraging and uplifting and exciting verses, because essentially what Jesus is saying is anyone that wants to be my disciple, and literally the words there are anyone who wants to come after me, who wants to walk in my footsteps and follow me, anyone who wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. And the word that he uses for deny is not this like super spiritual, like monk, like monastic, live out in the desert and like starve like Gandhi kind of fasting. Like that, it's not that kind of denial, that self-denial. Literally, the word deny in Greek means just to say no to yourself. To say no to yourself. So that when you come to a decision and everything in you wants to do something, it's saying like, no, Norton, you can't do that. When you really want a peach shake at Chick-fil-A, it's like saying, no, no, no. There's 19 million calories in this thing. Like, no, you cannot have one of these after everything else you ate. Like when you want to like sit at home and just veg out and watch trashy TV for like 8 hours straight one day, it's like saying, no, 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 no. That's not the right decision. Like, I'm going to say no to myself and my desires in this moment. That's what he's saying. You have to deny yourself so that when you get to those forks in the road, when Jesus is saying, hey, follow me over here. You said you were open to change, right? You said you were open to risk. Well, here's your opportunity. I want you to change. I want you to take a risk. Follow me over here. And everything in me says, no, 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 I want to go over here. Like, this is my will, and these are my desires. When you get to that fork in the road, who are you going to deny? Are you going to deny Jesus? Or are you going to deny yourself? And Jesus says you should deny yourself. Now, the way he says this, he says, anyone who wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. The verb tense he uses in Greek, it's called the aorist imperative. It sounds really cool. But essentially, all that means is it's a once and for all decision. It's a decision that you make at some point in your life, and it holds bearing or holds weight for the rest of your life. And so it's almost as if Jesus is saying, you've got to come to this point in your life where you make this once and for all decision. Who is going to be the boss of your life? Who's going to be the leader of your life? Who's doing the leading and who's doing the following? So that anytime you come to that road and you've got to decide between, am I going to follow myself or am I going to follow Jesus? You've already made that decision at some point in your life. Now, Jesus says you've got to make this once and for all decision, but then he goes on and he says you actually have to keep making that decision over and over, because he follows it up with they must deny themselves, but they also have to take up their cross daily. So it's not enough at some point in your life when you're 14 to say, yeah, I want to be a Christian. I'm going to follow Jesus. He's the Lord and Savior, and I prayed the prayer, and I got bad, and I did all the stuff. Like that's great. But you also have to wake up every single morning and say, today, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Today, Jesus, I'm going to deny myself. Today, Jesus, there's going to be moments where my will is going to clash with your will. And in those moments, I want to follow your will. And he uses this almost shocking imagery. It's not shocking to us because the cross is like this religious symbol, but for them it was an execution symbol. Take up your electric chair. That's what it would have been, you know? Take up the noose. Take up the guillotine. Take up your firing squad. Essentially, you got to die to yourself. You make this decision once and for all that you're going to follow me, and then every single morning you wake up and you say, I'm going to deny and die to my selfish desires today and follow you, Jesus. Now, that sounds like this awesome like commitment to be able to make, but that goes against everything we've ever been taught. I mean, that goes against everything inside of me. That goes against everything that America stands for, right? I mean, we don't listen to anyone else. We don't take orders from anyone else. You are the captain of your own soul and your own fate, and you determine the direction of your future, and your life is in your hands to make your decisions and live your life. You can be anything you want if you just set your mind. Like everything, every advertisement in our world tells us that we hold our lives in our hand, and we should follow our own desires. And yet, Jesus is coming to us and saying, hey, I want you to let go of that and decide. You're going to follow me. You're going to trust in me. And you're going to make that decision ahead of time because there's going to be days where it's going to be hard. And you need to know on those days, are you just following me when it's easy? Are you just following me when I'm taking the roads that you want to take? Are you just following me when it doesn't cost you anything? Yeah, I mean, because it's easy to follow Jesus when it doesn't cost us anything. But what about the days when it does cost us something? What about when I have to give something up to follow him? Have I made the decision that I'm going to put my faith in him and follow him? And here's the deal. Guess what? Jesus doesn't ask for that commitment on day one. He's so much more gracious and merciful than that. He didn't come up to the disciples and ask for that on day one. He knew that it would take them time, and he knew that after following them for a while, he would show himself to be faithful, and he would lend credibility and trustworthiness to them so that when he did get to the point for asking for that kind of commitment, he had already given us enough to know that he was faithful and trustworthy to actually follow. So, he asks us, if you want to come after me, are you going to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me? Now, he doesn't stop there because he knows it's still going to be hard. Like, we're still going to look at those sacrifices and what we're going to have to give up in order to follow him. And so he pulls back the curtain and he begins to explain a different way of thinking about things. It's almost like a new system he wants to give us. And let's read what he says. Here's this new system. He says, verse 24, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it." So that word "for" just means "for." In other words, I'm going to tell you why I have the audacity to ask you for a blank check with your life. So that's essentially what he's asking for, right? It's like Jesus is saying, hey, I want to know, will you do me a favor? And we're saying like, well, tell me what the favor is. I'll tell you whether I'm going to do it or not. And it's like Jesus is like, no, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I want to know beforehand. It's like a blank check that he's asking for. Like, that's the kind of commitment. And so he has the audacity to ask for that. So he says, let me explain why. And he says, for whoever wants to save their life. And in this context, the word save, it's not a religious or spiritual word. It just means whoever wants to keep their life, guard their life, hold tight to their life. The person that wants to protect their life, the person that says, it's my life, it's my money, it's my schedule, it's my career, it's my gifts, they're my weekends, it's my stuff. The person that sort of clings to everything that is theirs and says, it's all mine. And they wrap their lives up in that sense that everything I have is mine and I determine the direction of it. The person that clings to that, he says they will lose their life. Well, how do they lose it? I mean, if they're holding on to it, how do they lose it? I mean, he doesn't say, but maybe he's thinking ahead and he's thinking about the day that you die. Like when you die, if your whole life was wrapped up in like your weekends and your adventures and your career and your money and your possessions and all the stuff that you've been clinging to your whole life, when you die, like, you lose all that stuff. Everything that made you end up losing. So he says that's one part of the system. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But then he says there's a second part. He goes on. He says this in the next part of the verse. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. So if you try to keep your life or hold on to your life for yourself, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for me, in other words, if you give up your life, if you forfeit your life, if you give away your stuff, or if you take your stuff and your schedule and your money and your life and your career and your gifts and all that stuff, if you give it or hand it over to me, if you give it up, well, then you save your life. In the end, you get it back. You actually get to keep it. It comes back to you. Now, how does that work, Jesus? I mean, what does that mean? And he doesn't really tell us. I mean, how would someone save their life by giving it away? And why does someone lose their life if they try to save it? We don't fully get it at this point, but I want to actually stop and ask the question. Whether or not we're sure how this works, what if this is true? Like, what if this principle or the system actually is true? What if there's a bigger perspective or a bigger way that the world and life works, like in the perspective of eternity, and it says that if you cling to something, then you eventually lose it. But if you're willing to give something up for the sake of Jesus and what he wants to do, if you're open to him and you're willing to hand it over to him, then you actually save it. What if that's true? I mean, what if that is the system that the man or the woman or the teenager that takes their whole life, their schedule, their checkbook, their career, their job, their friends, their finances, their relationship, like, takes their whole life and gives them over to Jesus? If that person does that and they actually get it back in return, or they save it, or they keep it, then that's not a sacrifice. That's actually an investment. Because you know what a sacrifice is? A sacrifice is when you give something up and you get nothing in return. A sacrifice is when you give something away and you get nothing back. A sacrifice is when you've done something and nothing comes back to you. But that's not what Jesus is asking us for. Essentially, what he's saying is, if you give something up, in the end, it will come back to you. That's not a sacrifice. That's actually an investment. It will yield rewards. It will pay dividends. If you're one of those financial people, it's you're investing yourself and your stuff in your actual future. It actually comes back to you, and you get to keep it, and you earn off of it. That's an investment. That's not a sacrifice. In fact, the person who's clinging to something, and in the end they lose it, if this whole system is true and it works the way Jesus says, if we cling to something and in the end we lose it, they're actually the ones making the sacrifice, right? Because they're the ones who actually don't get back the thing that they're trying to hold on to so dearly. Now again, how does this actually work? We don't really know yet. He's going to try to tease this out a little bit. But what he's trying to say, I think for you and for me, is that when we get to those points in our lives, those crossroads, where everything in us wants to keep following ourselves, and it's like Jesus is nudging us in a different direction. He's saying, you need to do this. But we're looking at what we have to give up in order to follow him. It's almost as if in that moment, what he's trying to say is the wisest and best thing you can do is give that thing up and follow me. Because I'm not actually asking for a sacrifice, I'm asking for an investment. And if you give that up, if you let go of that in order to follow me, you're actually investing in your own future and in what I'm trying to do in you and through you. He wants to give us an example to help us understand this. And so look what he says next, verse 25. He says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? You might have heard this verse before, because Jesus is basically saying, imagine there's a man or a woman who's gained everything there is to gain in the world. I mean, imagine there's somebody who's gone through middle school, has gone through high school, has gone through college, who's earned all the degrees, who's gotten the great job, who's found the great career, who has a great place to live, and has got a great family, has got great kids, has made all the accomplishments, has gained all the wealth. Like, imagine somebody who's gotten all that stuff, and it wasn't just given to them. They didn't inherit it. They didn't win the lottery. They actually worked for it. They earned it themselves. They worked hard and they accomplished it and achieved it for themselves. He says, imagine that person for a second. They've gained everything they possibly have to gain in the entire world. If in that situation, he says, the best case scenario, that person still forfeits or loses themselves, then what was the benefit of all that other stuff that they gained? And it's almost as if he's saying, what's the point of trying to chase after all those things and trying to gain all those things if in the end you actually lose or forfeit yourself? And how does that work? Well, probably because when you chase after all those things, you hold onto them and you cling to them. And it's my weekends and my success and my accomplishment and my next goal. And it's like you're focused on everything that you can cling to and hold to. And it's almost as if Jesus is saying, that's what their life becomes. Like their whole life gets wrapped around that. That one day when all of that is lost, when all of that is peeled back, and it will be. Like one day when like all your possessions are peeled away, all of your accomplishments are peeled away, your career, your job, your health, all of that stuff is peeled away. If you've got nothing left to show for your life, then what was the point? What was the benefit of gaining all of that stuff? And it's almost as if Jesus is trying to pull back like the curtain of eternity and say, hey, peer ahead. Look ahead into what your life is counting for eternally. Because if you wrap your life up in all of these other things, but you lose what's most important, well, then you lose yourself. And in the context of your sacrifice, you're looking at my weekend and my money and my and all my stuff, and you're so scared to give anything up. But what's the point of clinging to all that if in the end you're going to lose yourself? I love going down to Guatemala. And this is one of the reasons I love going on trips down there. I've been to many trips. And if you're new to our church, we have a partnership with a small church in a small impoverished village down in Guatemala. And I know a number of you have been on trips with us. And the reason I love to lead trips and take people down there, we're doing another one in April if you want to go. Little plug. It's going to be awesome. Talk to me afterwards. The reason I love taking people down there is because it's a bit of a sacrifice to go on a trip. I mean, our trips last a week. And so you have to take vacation. I was talking to some of you before, and you got to make that work. And most of us only have limited amounts of vacation every year. So you have to give up some vacation time to go on a trip. You have to pay for the trip. It's about $1,200 a person, and you either pay for it yourself or you can raise the money. We can help people raise the money, but that can be kind of scary to do. And so that feels a little bit like a sacrifice, figuring out how to do that. And then you get down there, and I think we eat great food while we're down there, but It can be strange food, let's be honest. And food in Guatemala don't always agree with American stomachs. And so there's sickness stuff that can go on while you're down there. And the beds aren't always super comfortable that we sleep in. I mean, they're okay, but they're not, you know, after a week, if you've got a plush bed at home, it's like, oh, this isn't that comfortable. And there's roosters that wake you up at 5 a.m. every morning, right? And then they have this tradition of lighting firecrackers at like midnight every night for some crazy reason. I don't know why. So you don't get like great sleep while you're down there. There's not great hot water. You should see the showers. There's little heaters on the little like the shower head, and the wires like go into it and are just like tied right there underneath the water as it's pouring on your body and electrocuting you. It's like the scariest thing in the world. And then you don't have like Wi-Fi, and you don't have email access, and like you have to be off of that for like a whole week. So there's all of these things that you feel like you kind of have to give up to do this trip. I mean, it interrupts your schedule. It interrupts your patterns. It interrupts all of your habits. You can't do Facebook all the time. Like all these things that you have to change and give up. Feels like a sacrifice. But it amazes me, because after being down there for, I mean, gosh, one day, 2 or 3 days, people always say the same thing. Like, oh, this is amazing. Like, yeah, it's not hard. I mean, yeah, it's not easy. It's kind of hard. And there's all these things I felt like I had to give up, but man, what I'm experiencing now is so much richer and so much deeper than I ever could have experienced if I hadn't given these things up. And in fact, people usually come back and say, I'm going to make changes in my life. I'm going to start giving some of this up for good because of what I experienced down there when I gave these things up. And yet on the front side, it's hard to see that, because it does. It feels like sacrifice, but it's almost as if God is saying, look, yeah, if you give these things up, it won't be a sacrifice. It feels like it now. It looks like it now. But it's not a sacrifice. It's actually an investment in what I want to do and what I'm trying to do in you and through. And that investment is going to pay off so much better. You're going to experience life so much more full. You meet some of the indigenous Guatemalan people while you're down there, and it's like a whole nother level, because they have nothing. I mean, you meet some of them, and I mean, they quite literally have next to nothing. And they didn't choose that. That wasn't their choice. They didn't voluntarily give so many of the luxuries that we have up. And yet, you meet some of the Christians that are down there, and what you see is that the way they cling to Jesus is so different than the way we do, because they have nothing else to cling to. And it's like, because they have nothing else to cling to, they're clinging to the only thing that gives them hope and meaning. And their prayers are so much more deep and profound. And like, they're just crying out to God because they know he is the only one that can save them every single day. They can't trust in themselves. They can't trust in their stuff. They can only trust in him. And it's as if God is trying to say, look at them. Follow their example. I mean, somehow what they figured out is that when they cling to Jesus and not all the other stuff that we tend to cling to, they find a life that is rich and deep and meaningful. And it's not just about what God wants to do in your life right here and now. I think it's about what God wants to do in your life eternally. Because look at how Jesus ends this passage. It's the last verse I want to read. Look at what he says, verse 26. He says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of his holy angels. Now, that seems like a bit of a hard right turn from what he had been talking about, but I think he's connecting it, and he's saying, look, I'm going to come back one day. And if anybody is ashamed of me now, if anyone's embarrassed of me, if anyone's too focused on themselves to align with me, to give their life and give their heart and open their hands to me, if anyone's too ashamed of me, then when I come back, I will one day, I'm going to be ashamed of them. They won't be aligned with me, because that was the choice that they made themselves. And all of a sudden, it's like Jesus is placing our context and our sacrifice in the context of eternity. So much so that he's trying to say, look, when I ask you to give things up now, it's not just about now. I mean, yes, I want to do things in your life now. And yes, I actually do think the road to the left is better. And it's going to lead to a better place than the road that you want to take. And I know it's hard, and I know you feel like you have to give things up, but it's a better road. So follow me down this road. It will pay off in your life here and now. You might not see it for weeks or months or even years, but there's benefit to here and now. But I think he's also saying, and there's also benefit eternally. Because the big question eternally is, Where are you putting your trust? Who are you ultimately following? And it's these moments in life where we have to give something up, where it costs something to follow Jesus, that drives home that question. Am I really following him? Not just when it's easy, but even when it's tough. And so here's the challenge I want to leave you with tonight. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're kind of a Christian. You're not sure. Maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. It doesn't really matter where you would put yourself on that line or that spectrum or wherever you would place yourself. What matters is this. Simply, are you following Jesus? Are you putting your trust in him? And a lot of days, that's not too difficult. A lot of days, he blesses us, and we receive encouragement from him, and we feel like we're doing the right things, and we're living into the life that he has for us. But there's other days, I think he pushes us, and he says, I want you to be open to risk today. I want you to be open to change today. I want you to be open to trusting me today. And it's going to cost something. It's going to be a little hard. You're going to have to give something up. And that's going to feel like a sacrifice. So I would ask each of you and myself as well, what is it right now in my life that I feel like God maybe is asking me to sacrifice? What is it right now that God maybe is challenging you that you'd say, it just feels like God is asking me to stop clinging to fill in the blank. It just feels like right now God is challenging me to let go of fill in the blank. Is it some plans? Is it your dreams? Is it your stuff? Is it amount of money? Is it security? Is it your reputation? Is it what people might think if you do something? What is God saying? I just want you to be willing to open yourself up and let go of this. And what you need to understand tonight, and what I want to just drive home as best as I can, is what God is asking you to let go of, it's not a sacrifice. It might feel like it, but it's not a sacrifice. A sacrifice is when you let go of something and you get nothing back. It's an investment. He's saying, invest in what I want to do in your life and even into eternity. Because one day when you're lying on your deathbed or you get on the other side of the grave, you're not going to be sitting around thinking about or talking about like the awesome work deals that you closed or like how much more time you should have spent on the weekends at work. You know, you're not going to be talking about that. We're not going to be talking about the TV shows we watched, like the most shocking rose ceremony yet. Like, we're not going to be talking about that. Because it happens. It happens every Tuesday night. Let's be honest. Like, it's the most shocking one since last week, you know? We're not going to be talking about those things. Is it Tuesday nights? I don't know. That's good. We're not going to be talking about, like, the new gadgets that we upgraded. The new screen we had. How much RAM. Like, all those things. Like, we're not going to be talking about. You know what we'll be talking about? We'll be sitting together as a community of faith talking about, man, do you remember when we were open to what God wanted to do and he just did something we could have never imagined? You remember when you took that chance and you started talking to her about Jesus and what he meant to you? And it took 6 months, it took a year, it took 5 years, and we prayed for her forever and ever. And then she finally put her faith in Jesus and it turned her whole life around. Do you remember when your buddy, he was addicted, just addicted to that stuff. And do you remember how we came around him and we invested our life in him and it was scary and it was hard and it took so much time. There was a lot of weekends I did not want to give up to commit to him, but we did it. And God broke him free of that addiction and his whole life changed. Like, those are the kind of stories we'll be sharing on the other side of the grave. And we won't see all those things as sacrifices. We'll see them as investments in what God was doing in our lives. So don't just spend your life. If you spend your life, that's a sacrifice. God's not calling you for a sacrifice. He wants you to be open to investing your life in what he wants to do. Let me pray. Then we'll close by singing a few songs. God, that is our prayer. We do want to be open. And God, we even confess how much we've stumbled and how much we'll continue to stumble. You know our hearts. You know how inconsistent we can be. You know how hard it can be. And you still love us. That's amazing. You're still so gracious. You pick us up when we fall. You dust off our knees. You hold us when we get hurt. Because we're your children and you're our Heavenly Father. You love us. And so God, we trust in you. And we ask you, where we don't have faith, give us faith. Where we don't have courage, give us courage. Help us to be bold and help us to begin to open up more of our hearts and our minds and our hands and our lives to you. Because we know you're not going to let go. You won't walk away from us. You'll keep chasing after us because you love us. You'll persevere. You won't let go. And we love you because that's who you are. I pray this in your name. Amen.